Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
That was just fake news by NBC, which gives a lot of fake news.
I called the fake news the enemy of the people, and they are.
I think you've set a new bar today for being contentious with the press corps, kind of calling us losers to our faces and all that.
No, not all of you, just many of you.
All right, fine. Can you give us a question?
Don't be rude. No, I'm not going to give you a question. I'm not going to give you a question.
Can you stay categorical?
You are fake news.
President Donald Trump has been anything but subtle in his disdain for the press. Last week, we learned that during a whistleblower investigation, the Justice Department seized years of phone and email records belonging to New York Times journalist Ali Watkins. The Justice Department also arrested James Wolf, a former Senate Intelligence Committee aide, for allegedly leaking classified information to the press and lying to his investigators about contact with three reporters. The DOJ was investigating a story written by The Times' Ali Watkins that included classified information that Russian spies in 2013 had tried to recruit Carter Page, a former Trump policy advisor. But this is not the first whistleblower case under the Trump administration. It is the first time the Trump Justice Department has seized a reporter's data. Joining us now is co-founder and executive director of the Freedom of the Press Foundation, Trevor Tim. Trevor, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Trevor, so much to unpack with this story. Can you lead us through the basics of the case? Why would the DOJ and the administration seize a reporter's data? And can they do that?
Sure. So late last week, as you mentioned, former director of security of the Senate Intelligence Committee, James Wolf, was indicted for allegedly lying to investigators about his contacts with reporters. One of those reporters was Ali Watkins. And, you know, I think it's important to point out that actually James Wolf was not charged with actually leaking information to the media or classified information to the media, but just the lying aspect. But the part of this case that is even more concerning is the fact that Ali Watkins's email and phone call records were apparently seized by the Justice Department many months ago. And they go back at least a year. And this does not just include her potential conversations with Mr. Wolf. It also includes virtually every phone call and email she has made, which could include dozens and dozens of other sources that are involved in not only this potential story, but also dozens of other stories. And with journalists, it is vital that they are able to collect information and gather the news in a confidential manner, or it's impossible to convince sources to potentially come forward about information in the public interest. And so this is a escalation of the Trump administration's already worrying crackdown on leaks and could have huge implications for reporters going forward.
So we also should note here that Ali Watkins did have a 3-year relationship with James Wolf. She did not tell the New York Times that the Justice Department had seized her records for a couple months, even though she did tell the Times that she had had a relationship with Wolf. Now, if this is an inquiry that's specifically about her relationship with Wolf, how is it that the DOJ can seize all of these records and not just the ones pertaining to the issue in question?
Well, the Justice Department actually has internal guidelines about this called the so-called media guidelines. And what they essentially say is that the Justice Department is only supposed to directly target journalists as a matter of last resort after they have exhausted all other options in an investigation and that it's vital to continue the case. Here, it looks like that investigators had already had access to Wolf's phone itself. And so in the indictment, there are texts and evidence of phone calls between Watkins and at least three other reporters. And so it's very curious and bizarre that they would also need to go after Watkinson's information because they seem to already have it from Wolf's end. And so that suggests to me that they may be trying to either scare Watkins and other reporters or go after her sources from another story, because it's clear that they didn't actually need this information to get the information that they wanted, given that they already have Wolf's phone. And so that's why it's incredibly worrying. The Trump administration claims that they have dozens of other leak investigations going. So how many other reporters have they conducted surveillance on in secret that we don't actually know about yet?
Now, let's also be clear that reporters do have a duty, if you will, to disclose any conflicts of interest. For example, if I'm covering something directly and I'm in a relationship with someone who works in that field, then I have a responsibility to tell my editors and my bosses about that. Where does this fall in that? If Watkins actually did tell her employer about her relationship with Wolf, should she not be protected?
I think that, first of all, the New York Times has said that Watkins did tell them about the relationship. It's hard to speak for previous places she was working at. But I think that's, you know, the larger issue here is the government encroachment on reporters' rights. If anything, the relationship question is an ethical question, but certainly shouldn't be decided by the Justice Department and the FBI. And the larger worry here is that the Justice Department is going to use these tactics against other journalists, given that they have so many other leak investigations open, given that Trump has obviously disparaged the media virtually on a daily basis and claims that the press is the enemy of the American people. And so far, that has largely just been rhetoric. But if he is using the full weight of the Justice Department to go after journalists he doesn't like, then that would become incredibly disturbing.
But it's also something that we did see begin under the Obama administration. I don't think this is something we can blame squarely on the Trump administration in terms of the leak investigations and putting pressure on media.
No, absolutely not. And it's definitely important to point out that before the Trump administration, the Obama administration was actually the worst White House and Justice Department on press freedom since Richard Nixon. They brought a record number of leak cases, actually more prosecutions of journalist sources than all other administrations combined. They also had scandals where they had subpoenaed the phone lines of Associated Press journalists. They had read the email of a Fox News journalist, and they had even tried to subpoena Pulitzer Prize winner James Risen and almost forced him into jail. So it's true that the Obama administration really created a blueprint for which the Trump administration can work off of.
And Trevor, I want to ask this question, too, that just so our listeners are clear, journalists do not have a federal protection known as a shield law, correct?
That's correct. There is no federal protection for journalists like there are with doctors or lawyers or therapists where they can refuse to testify in court. There are state laws that protect journalists in some cases, and also other laws in other court districts. But this is why it's really important that eventually we get a federal shield law that can hopefully prevent this type of thing from happening to begin with.
Trevor Timm is the co-founder and executive director of the Freedom of the Press Foundation. Trevor, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.